Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Anybody excited about Easter? Come on. I think you guys just like honking your horns. All right, good. Listen, if you want to be water baptized, just turn your water things on. I'm just kidding. But if you're watching at home, we're so glad that you're here. Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection with us. And He's risen, amen? He is risen. And I want to let you know, listen, if you're worshiping with us at home, we're going to be receiving communion together at the end of the message. And so if you want to take a moment real quick and grab some elements, some juice, some crackers, something that you can join with us in celebrating communion together. And when you came in, you should have received the elements here at the drive-in church. If you didn't, we have someone who will bring it to you. If you just let them know, just kind of stick your hand out the window. But we're excited about today, about Easter. We're kind of praying for the rain to hold off a little bit. But, you know, we have spent the last month just rearranging our lives, haven't we? Making all kinds of adjustments to the way we do life, the way our schedules go, just to protect ourselves against any kind of exposure to this invisible enemy that we now know as COVID-19. We've never heard of it before. Well, most of us hadn't, but we've washed our hands more times than we probably have ever done, or at least some people maybe, in a long, long time. But we've sanitized, we've wiped doorknobs. I never wiped doorknobs, now I do. Most people are working from home. You know, it's a different thing. And we're on Easter Sunday and we are outside. We are in the parking lot doing an outside service. This isn't a sunrise service that, you know, used to be kind of the thing. This is normal now. You know, a lot of churches are meeting online only, and so this is kind of the norm for today. Here's where we're at, right? And we don't really know who all has been exposed to COVID-19. We don't know that, but we do know this. I believe that we've all been exposed by it. We've been in this series of messages that I've titled Exposed. We're finishing it up today. And we talked about some of the things that this virus has exposed in us. And today I want to talk about, just kind of continue that thought. But I think there's a lot of fears that we have. The fear of the unknown, you know, like, are we asymptomatic? Are we carrying this virus and we don't even really know it? Are we possibly infecting other people? We don't want to do that, right? Will I at some point get sick with it? Will I have problems breathing? Will I have to be put on a ventilator? All this stuff, you know, you watch the news and you listen to stuff and all this fear rises up because there's a lot of unknown, right? And I think ultimately, if we can be really honest, ultimately our fear is not just the fact that we might get sick, because we've all been sick before, we've all had the flu before, but I think our fears, that underlying fear in the United States, but around the world, is our fear of death. Death scares us. It scares us. And you know, when the first followers of Jesus, they were not immune to that fear as well. It's interesting when you read through the passage of Scripture and you see just the morning of the resurrection, you see that the women were sent out to prepare the body, and the disciples, the followers of Jesus, many of the others, who they were hunkered down. And the Bible says they were fearful. I can imagine that they stayed at home. You know, they didn't have news to watch. They didn't have radio to listen to. They didn't know what was going on. They probably thought, we're next. We're next. The Roman soldiers are going to come knocking on our door, and we're the next ones to be put to death. We're the next ones that are going to be punished. And so there was a lot of fear of death in the early church, in the early believers, and you see it that morning. but something happened. When you read the scripture and you see the story, you know something happened. When they realized the tomb was empty, when they realized that Jesus wasn't dead anymore, when they realized that he raised from the dead, that he resurrected, something changed. All of a sudden, that fear, that mentality of holding, you know, down the fort or hiding and playing it safe, something changed inside of their hearts. And we see a church that is bold. We see a church that is courageous. We see a people who all of a sudden no longer fear of death, no longer afraid. What can man do to me? What can anyone do to me? Because the resurrection changed everything. And that's what we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate the resurrection. This morning, you're tuned in, you're watching on your computer, on your phone, your tablet, whatever, because the resurrection changes everything. That's what this day is all about, right? It's all about that. People are gathered all around the world watching their televisions, their computers, their phones, their tablets. Many churches are meeting just like we are in parking lots. And the way that we celebrate Easter this year looks so different than we've ever celebrated it before. And you know what? It feels different. I don't know about you, but it feels different to me. There's something about it. I was sharing with a group yesterday. There's something about it, the simplicity of it. You know, as a pastor, you know, building up to Easter, it's all, you know, we're like polishing everything in the church and in the building and getting our programs ready and getting the music just right and getting everything just right and because we're getting ready for that day. And unfortunately, I think a lot of times us pastors or those who are involved in all of that, we forget about what Easter's all about. And we're counting the eggs that we're gonna hide, we're getting the candy ready, all that stuff. But this year it feels different. It feels great just to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. You know, we have never, ever in the history of our history, we have never seen something that is invisible, this invisible enemy that has spread so easily and so quickly to infect so many people. We've never seen anything like that. When I think about it, I think this isn't just something that South Carolinians are experiencing. You know, I lived in Florida for a long time, and I know what it's like to hunker down when a hurricane's coming, you know? But you realize that, hey, this is a storm that we're only facing, but over in Kansas, they're chilling out, nothing's wrong. But this is an invisible enemy. This is a storm that everyone around the world is experiencing. And we've never experienced that in our lifetime. We've never understood. We have a hard time grasping that. But this fear that we have, this underlying fear that even the early disciples before that morning, that fear that they had of death, that fear has its root in Genesis chapter 3. I want to look at something real quick. It's just something the Lord laid on my heart for Easter. In Genesis chapter 3, that's where the root of this fear of death is. I want to read it to you real quickly. It says, the woman said to the serpent, you can follow along in the app if you want, or on your Bible, Genesis 3:2. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and they made coverings for themselves. Now there's so much in that passage of scripture. And there's as we talk about what's going on in our world and we talk about the fears that grip our hearts and the things that we're trying to grasp and all the uncertainty, that all of that has its roots in Genesis chapter 3. See, I believe what happened in Genesis chapter 3 is that we were exposed by sin. See, we've been exposed by it. And death, disease, sickness, viruses was never a part of God's original plan. It was never part of his design for this world. I think we've all experienced someone close to us passing away, and the pain of that, the hurt that's involved in that. And it brings a lot of questions. And I've noticed during this time and everything going on, it's like everyone's trying to like explain it, you know? And I hear people saying, well, God created it so that people will come back to him. And people, you know, like there's just all this back and forth of just trying to figure out what's the point of this and what's happening. And you know, we don't understand death. We don't understand when things happen like that are painful, but I can tell you this without a doubt, when you go back to Genesis chapter 3, that death, sickness, disease was never a part of God's original plan. I was 14 years old when I watched my dad die of a massive heart attack on our kitchen floor. It changed my world forever. I remember like it was yesterday, sitting there and watching and knowing he's taking his last breath. And I remember the anger that entered into my heart. And I wasn't angry at anything but God. And see, I didn't understand. I was confused but I was angry at God because it's like, God, you have the power to change this. And I struggled with that for years. And because of that emptiness, it drove me to do a lot of stupid things. I've watched people go through that same pain. When they watch someone pass away and they struggle and they wonder, you know, God, what's going on? What is happening? Why would you allow this to happen? And I remember even at my dad's funeral, people tried to console me. And I remember one person saying, well, God needed him more. And I'm like, wow, you know, I think we try to console people in times like that we really just need to just be there. Right. But we try to make sense of it. We're trying to make sense of everything that's going on. I can tell you this, and I know for sure God is in control, and this was not part of his original plan, but he has a plan. Amen? He has a plan. And so our fear of death is rooted in Genesis chapter 3, because Adam and Eve were told, if you eat from the fruit, you will die. And sin exposed some things. Sin exposed our frailty as humans. You know, we sometimes think we're so invincible, and we act like we're immortal. Like, and sin exposes that. Sin exposed the fact that you and I are human. And I believe that this pandemic that we've experienced as a world is exposing some things and helping us to realize that, you know what, we're not as big as we think we are. We're not as powerful as we think we are. What can save us? Can our economies? Can our talent? Only the Lord can. See, I think in Genesis chapter 3, we see some things that were exposed. The Adam and Eve, their nakedness was exposed. Their spiritual, not just physical, but their spiritual nakedness was exposed. Their selfishness, their weakness, their fears. And they tried to cover it. See, sin exposes things in us. It exposes the weaknesses in us. It exposes our frailties. And Adam and Eve tried to cover it up. And it wasn't, you know, they weren't very good at covering it up. It didn't work. We try to cover it up, right? We try to cover up those weaknesses. We still continue to do that. We're still working to try to cover them up. We cover it up with success, with religion, with our achievements, with alcohol, with drugs. I mean, whatever, we try to just cover up this emptiness and this stuff that's inside of us. And God said, I'll cover you. See, what sin exposes, grace covers. What sin exposes, grace covers. See, death has its origins in Genesis chapter 3. But the resurrection changes everything. I don't know what you're going through and the fears and the concerns that you might have. I'm not saying that we should just not be cautious and not be responsible and all of that. But I think this morning we've got to remember why we celebrate this day. that it's not just a big religious holiday. It has significance that is beyond the religious part of it. It has so much significance to who we are that it's about life. See, death was conquered that day. I want to read a passage of scripture. It's kind of long. You can follow along. It's in John chapter 19. It says, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which is in Aramaic called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared, and he fastened it to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write King of the Jews. But this man claimed to be King of the Jews, Pilate answered. What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to him, or said to her, woman, here's your son. And the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so he soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he'd received the drink, Jesus said, these are powerful words, it is finished. It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. See, the root of fear, the root of the fear of death, the root of sickness, all of that, the root of disease is all founded. It's in Genesis chapter 3, where man, where woman, where mankind says, you know what? I don't need you, God. I can do this on my own. It's that rebellion towards God and that decision that says, I want to be my own God. It's rooted there. And in that, you and I were exposed, our humanity, our frailty, all of the weaknesses that we have. And we all have them, no matter how much we cover them up, no matter how much we try to cover them and mask them, we all have those weaknesses. And where sin exposes, grace covers. And Jesus said, it's finished. It's finished. The resurrection changes everything. Changes everything in our lives. The fear of death, it changes everything. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look. I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. He's alive. It's finished. He holds the keys of death and Hades. The resurrection changed everything. See, Jesus' death on the cross was for our forgiveness. Jesus' resurrection from the dead shows his power over death, and that same power that he extends to us. He took away that sting of death. The curse of sin is broken. It's finished. And the resurrection is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to all humanity, that all nations would be blessed. I want to celebrate communion this morning together because it's symbolic of something that we just talked about, the powerful death, resurrection of Jesus. It has so much meaning for us. And so this morning, if you've got your elements with you, if you would prepare to receive them with me, I want to read a passage of scripture. The Apostle Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, and they're having, you know, these issues with communion, and he's trying to clarify some things for them. And for us, this is instructions on how to receive them and what to do. And he says in verse 23 of chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord.' Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Communion has purpose. It's symbolic, but it has purpose. One, it has purpose to remind us of what Jesus did for us and who he is to us. He's our Savior. He conquered death. And because he lives, we live. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's just going to go our way all the time. But because he lives, we live. Communion also causes us to examine ourselves. It's one of those moments when we should stop and take kind of a spiritual inventory. What's happening in my life? Where am I at in my relationship with the Lord? There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus. But are you trusting Jesus? Are you following Jesus? I got this weird email. It's kind of weird to share, but you know, we have an apartment that we Airbnb, and somebody emailed us, and it was a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they wanted to come and stay at our apartment, and they said, "We chose you because you have the same faith that we do." And I thought, that's weird. It's like, you believe in God, but do you really trust him and live for him? And you know, and do your beliefs line up with what's going on? This is a time for us to take a spiritual inventory. Where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Is it just up here, or is it here? Are we trusting him with salvation? And so this morning, right now, as we receive these communion elements, as you're at home and you're receiving these communion elements, let's remember who Jesus is to us. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the one that said it's finished. And let's do that spiritual inventory. Where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Are you just going through life and just doing your thing and asking God to just bless everything you do? Can we pray together? And as we do, let's take that inventory. And maybe you're not in a right place with the Lord. Maybe you're not in a right relationship with him. Maybe you're tuned in, you're watching, and you say, you know what? I believe in Jesus, but I'm not in the right place. I need a relationship with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I bow before you this morning in humility, and I ask you to examine my heart today. Along with everyone who's here, who's watching, Lord, would you show us anything that's not pleasing to you? Would you reveal any secret pride, any unconfessed sin, any rebellion or unforgiveness? Anything that might be hindering my relationship with you? I know that I'm your beloved child, and I've received you into my heart and life, and I've accepted your death and penalty for my sinfulness. The price that you paid, it covered me. It's that grace that covers my sin. And my desire is to live for you. as we take this bread that represents your life that was broken for us, we remember that. We remember your life and we celebrate you. We celebrate your faithfulness to us. Lord, I can't begin to fathom and I can't begin to figure it out how agonizing, suffering crucifixion was. Yet you took that pain for us. You died for us. And we thank you. Thank you for that extravagant love, that unmerited favor. Would you take the bread, which represents the body of Jesus that was beaten and bruised for us. In the same way, as I take this cup, Lord, as I take the juice that represents your blood that was poured out, Lord, I realize that you were the supreme sacrifice. For my past, my present, my future sin. Thank you. Thank you for the victory that you've given us over death. We receive that forgiveness in Jesus' name. Would you take the juice? If you're not in a right relationship with the Lord, would you open your heart to him right now? You see, just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. This morning, I put my faith in you. You are the resurrection and the life. You finished it. What the enemy started, you finished. And today I celebrate life as I give my heart to you. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching, for being a part of the service. Thanks for coming out and celebrating Easter together with us. Can we worship the Lord one more time? Can we just celebrate him for what he's done? Father, we're so thankful for who you are and what you've done in our lives. We celebrate that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give us a little horn beep, a little worship the Lord. All right. God bless y'all. Be safe. We'll see you. Happy Easter.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.